Section 2, The Metropolitan Masses.
In the shadow of impending doom, subheading, millions in the cities must soon decide. The spiritual darkness that covers the whole earth today is intensified in the crowded centers of population. It is in the cities of the nations that the gospel worker finds the greatest impenitence and the greatest need. The record of crime and iniquity in large cities of the land is appalling. The wickedness of the wicked is almost beyond comprehension. Many cities are becoming a very Sodom in the sight of heaven. The increasing wickedness is such that multitudes are rapidly approaching a point in their personal experience beyond which it will be exceedingly difficult to reach them with a saving knowledge of the third angel's message. The enemy of souls is working in a masterful manner to gain full control of the human mind. And what God's servants do to warn and prepare men for the day of judgment must be done quickly. The conditions that face Christian workers in the great cities constitute a solemn appeal for untiring effort in behalf of the millions living within the shadow of impending doom. Men will soon be forced to great decisions, and they must have opportunity to hear and to understand Bible truth in order that they may take their stand intelligently on the right side. God is now calling upon his messengers in no uncertain terms to warn the cities while mercy still lingers and while multitudes are yet susceptible to the converting influence of Bible truth. Review and Herald, April 7, 1910. Subheading, On the March to Death. Satan is busily at work in our crowded cities. His work is to be seen in the confusion, the strife and discord between labor and capital, and the hypocrisy that has come into the churches. That men may not take time to meditate, Satan leads them into a round of gaiety and pleasure-seeking, of eating and drinking. He fills them with ambition to make an exhibition that will exalt self. Step by step, the world is reaching the conditions that existed in the days of Noah. Every conceivable crime is committed. The lust of the flesh, the pride of the eyes, the display of selfishness, the misuse of power, the cruelty and the force used to cause men to unite with confederacies and unions, binding themselves up in bundles for the burning of the great fires of the last days, all these are the working of satanic agencies. This round of crime and folly men call life. The world, who act as though there were no God, absorbed in selfish pursuits, will soon experience sudden destruction and shall not escape. Many continue in the careless gratification of self until they become so disgusted with life that they kill themselves. Dancing and carousing, drinking and smoking, indulging their animal passions, they go as an ox to the slaughter. Satan is working with all his art and enchantments to keep men marching blindly onward until the Lord arises out of his place to punish the inhabitants of earth for their iniquities, when the earth shall disclose her blood and no more shall cover her slain. The whole world appears to be in the march to death. Manuscript 139, 1903. Subheading, Ambitious Devisings. Men and women living in these cities are rapidly becoming more and still more entangled in their business relations. They're acting wildly in the erection of buildings whose towers reach high into the heavens. Their minds are filled with schemes and ambitious devisings. Manuscript 154, 1902. Subheading, If Heaven's Warnings Go Unheeded. I am bidden to declare the message that cities full of transgression and sinful in the extreme will be destroyed by earthquakes, by fire, by flood. All the world will be warned that there is a God who will display his authority as God. His unseen agencies will cause destruction, devastation, and death. All the accumulated riches will be as nothingness. Calamities will come. Calamities most awful, most unexpected, and these destructions will follow one after another. If there will be a heeding of the warnings that God has given, and if the churches will repent, returning to their allegiance, then other cities may be spared for a time. But if men who have been deceived continue in the same way in which they have been walking, disregarding the law of God and presenting falsehoods before the people, God allows them to suffer calamity that their senses may be awakened. The Lord will not suddenly cast off all transgressors or destroy entire nations, but he will punish cities and places where men have given themselves up to the possession of satanic agencies. Strictly will the cities of the nations be dealt with, and yet they will not be visited in the extreme of God's indignation, because some souls will yet break away from the delusions of the enemy and will repent and be converted, while the mass will be treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. Manuscript 35, 1906. Subheading, To Arouse the People. While at Loma Linda, California, April 16, 1906, there passed before me a most wonderful representation. During a vision of the night, I stood on an eminence from which I could see houses shaken like a reed in the wind. Buildings, great and small, were falling to the ground. Pleasure resorts, theaters, hotels, and the homes of wealthy were shaken and shattered. Many lives were blotted out of existence, and the air was filled with the shrieks of the injured and the terrified. The destroying angels of God were at work. One touch, and buildings so thoroughly constructed that men regarded them as secure against every danger, quickly became heaps of rubbish. There was no assurance of safety in any place. I did not feel in any special peril, but the awfulness of the scenes that passed before me, I cannot find words to describe. It seemed that the forbearance of God was exhausted, and that the day of judgment had come. The angel that stood by my side then instructed me that but few have any conception of the wickedness existing in our world today, and especially the wickedness in the large cities. He declared that the Lord has appointed a time when he will visit transgressors in wrath for persistent disregard of his law. Terrible as was the representation that passed before me, that which impressed itself most vividly upon my mind was the instruction given in connection with it. The angel that stood by my side declared that God's supreme rulership and the sacredness of his law must be revealed to those who persistently refuse to render obedience to the King of Kings. Those who choose to remain disloyal must be visited in mercy with the judgments, in order that, if possible, they may be aroused to a realization of the sinfulness of their cause. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 92, 1909. Subheading, A View of Great Destruction. Last Friday morning, just before I awoke, a very impressive scene was presented before me. I seemed to awake from sleep, but was not in my home. From the windows I could behold a terrible conflagration. Great balls of fire were falling upon houses, and from these balls fiery arrows were flying in every direction. It was impossible to check the fires that were kindled, and many places were being destroyed. The terror of the people was indescribable. After a time, I awoke and found myself at home. Letter 278, 1906. Subheading, Because large cities will be swept away. Everywhere there are men who should be out in active ministry, giving the last message of warning to a fallen world. The work that should long ago have been in active operation to win souls to Christ has not been done. The inhabitants of the ungodly cities, so soon to be visited by calamities, have been cruelly neglected. The time is near when large cities will be swept away, and all should be warned of these coming judgments. But who is giving to the accomplishments of this work the wholehearted service that God requires? At the present time, there is not a thousandth part being done in working the cities that should be done, and that would be done if men and women would do their whole duty. Manuscript 53, 1910. Subheading, Destruction of Thousands of Cities. Oh, that God's people had a sense of the impending destruction of thousands of cities, now almost given to idolatry. Review and Herald, September 10, 1903. Subheading, Hasten the Work. As I consider the conditions in the cities that are so manifestly under the power of Satan, I ask myself the question, what will be the end of these things? The wickedness of many cities is increasing. Crime and iniquity are at work on every hand. New species of idolatry are continually being introduced into society. In every nation, the minds of men are turning to the invention of some new thing. Rashness of deed and confusion of mind are everywhere increasing. Surely the cities of the earth are becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah. As a people, we need to hasten the work in the cities, which has been hindered for lack of workers and means and spirit of consecration. At this time, the people of God need to turn their hearts fully to Him, for the end of all things is at hand. They need to go humble their minds and to be attentive to the will of the Lord, working with earnest desire to do that which God has shown must be done to warn the cities of their impending doom. Review and Herald, January 25, 1912. Heading, Increasing Difficulties, subheading, Advance with Increasing Effort. We are nearing the great and final conflict. Every advance move made by now must be made with increasing effort, for Satan is working with all power to increase the difficulties in our way. He works with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to secure the souls of men. I am charged to say to ministers of the gospel and to our missionary physicians, go forward. The work to be done calls for self-sacrifice at every step, but go forward. Letter 38, 1908. Subheading, No Time to Lose. We have no time to lose. The end is near. The passage from place to place has spread the truth will soon be hedged with dangers on the right hand and on the left. Everything will be placed to obstruct the way of the Lord's messengers so that they will not be able to do that which it is possible for them to do now. We must look our work fairly in the face and advance as fast as possible in aggressive warfare. From the light given me of God, I know that the powers of darkness are working with intense energy from beneath, and with stealthy tread, Satan is advancing to take those who are now asleep, as a wolf taking his prey. We have warnings now which we may give, a work now which we may do, but soon it will be more difficult than we can imagine. God help us to keep in the channel of light, to work with our eyes fastened on Jesus, our leader, and patiently, perseveringly press on to gain the victory. Testimonies, Volume 6, page 22, 1900. Subheading, City Evangelism Becoming More Difficult. We do not realize the extent to which satanic agencies are at work in these large cities. The work of bringing the message of present truth before the people is becoming more and more difficult. It is essential that new and varied talents unite in intelligent labor for the people. Medical Ministry, page 300, 1909. Subheading, Favorable Time for the Cities Pass By. A great work is to be done. I am moved by the Spirit of God to say to those engaged in the Lord's work that the favorable time for our message to be carried to the cities has passed by, and this work has not been done. I feel a heavy burden that we shall now redeem the time. Manuscript 62, 1903. The work which the church has failed to do in the time of peace and prosperity, she will have to do in terrible crisis, under most discouraging, forbidding circumstances. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 463. 1885. Subheading, God's Spirit Gradually Withdrawn. The days in which we live are solemn and important. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. Plagues and judgment are already fallen upon the despisers of the grace of God. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 11, 1909. Subheading, Spirit of War Stirring Nations. Fearful tests and trials await the people of God. The spirit of war is stirring the nations from one end of the earth to the other. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 17, 1909. Subheading, Before Doors Now Open Shall Close. Again and again, I am instructed to present to our churches the work that should be done in our large cities. There is a great work to be done, not only where we have churches already established, but also in places where the truth has never been fully presented. Right in our midst, there are heathen as verily as in far-off lands. The way must be opened to reach these with the truth for this time, and these openings should be made at once. Often we have been told that our cities are to hear the message, but how slow we are to heed the instruction. I saw one standing on a high platform with arms extended. He turned and pointed in every direction, saying, "A world perishing in ignorance of God's holy law, and Seventh-day Adventists are asleep. The Lord is pleading for laborers, for there is a great work to be done. There are conversions to be made that will add to the church such as shall be saved. Men and women in the highways and byways are to be reached. We are far behind in following the light God has given regarding the working of our large cities. The time is coming when laws will be framed that will close doors now open to the message. We need to arouse to earnest effort now while the angels of God are waiting to give their wonderful aid to all who will labor to arouse the consciences of men and women regarding righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." Manuscript 7, 1908. Subheading, Work While You Can. My brethren, enter the cities while you can. In the cities that have been already entered, there are many who have never heard the message of truth. Some who have heard have been converted, and some have died in the faith. There are many others who, if they were given an opportunity, might hear and accept the message of salvation. These, our last efforts for the work of God in the earth, must bear decidedly the impress of the divine. Manuscript 7, 1908. Heading, The Call for a Speedy Work. Subheading, Time is Short. The message that I am bidden to bear to our people at this time is, work the cities without delay, for time is short. The Lord has kept this work before us for the last 20 years or more. A little has been done in a few places, but much more must be done. Letter 168, 1909. Subheading, Where is your faith? When I think of the many cities yet unwarned, I cannot rest. It is distressing to think that they have been neglected so long. For many, many years, the cities of America, including the cities in the South, have been set before our people as places needing special attention. A few have borne the burden of working in these cities, but in comparison with the great needs and the many opportunities, but little has been done. Where is your faith, my brethren? Where are the workmen? Shall we not plan to send messengers all through these fields and support them liberally? Shall not the ministers of God go into these crowded centers and there lift up their voices in warning to multitudes? At such a time as this, every hand is to be employed. Review and Herald, November 25, 1909. Subheading, Multitudes Unwarned. In New York, and in many other cities, there are multitudes of people unwarned. We must set about this work in earnestness and do it. Laying aside our peculiarities and our own ideas, we are to preach Bible truth. Men of consecration and talent are to be sent into these cities and set to work. Manuscript 25, 1910. Subheading, Time to Wake Up the Watchmen. Our cities are to be worked. Money is needed for the prosecution of the work in New York, Boston, Portland, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Chicago, St. Louis, New Orleans, and many other cities. In some of these places, the people were mightily stirred by the message given in 1842 to 1844, but of late years, little has been done compared to the great work that ought to be in progress. And it seems difficult to make our people feel a special burden for the work in the large cities. I appeal to our brethren who have heard the message for many years. It is time to wake up the watchmen. I have expended my strength in giving the messages the Lord has given me. The burden of the needs of our cities has rested so heavily upon me that it has sometimes seemed that I should die. May the Lord give wisdom to our brethren, that they may know how to carry forward the work in harmony with the will of the Lord. Manuscript 13, 1910. Subheading, Millions to Hear the Message. The cities must be worked. The millions living in these congested centers are to hear the third angel's message. This work should have been developed rapidly during the past few years. Review and Herald, July 5, 1906. Heading, Special Opportunities for Evangelism. Subheading, At Large Gatherings Like St. Louis Fair. I was given instruction that as we approach the end, there will be large gatherings in our cities, as there has recently been in St. Louis, and that preparations must be made to present the truth at these gatherings. When Christ was upon this earth, he took advantage of such opportunities. Wherever a large number of people was gathered for any purpose, his voice was heard, clear and distinct, giving his message. And as a result, after his crucifixion and ascension, thousands were converted in a day. The seed was sown by Christ, sank deep into the hearts, and germinated. And when the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the harvest was gathered in. The disciples went forth and preached the word everywhere with such power that fear fell upon their opposers. And they dared not do that which they would have done had not the evidence been so plain that God was working. At every large gathering, some of our ministers should be in attendance. They should work wisely to obtain a hearing and get the light of the truth before as many as possible. We should improve every such opportunity as that presented by the St. Louis Fair. At all such gatherings, there should be present men whom God can use. Leaflets containing the light of the present truth should be scattered among the peoples like the leaves of autumn. To many who attend these gatherings, these leaflets would be as the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations. I send you this, my brethren, that you may give it to others. Those who go forth to proclaim the truth shall be blessed by him who has given them the burden of proclaiming this truth. The time has come when, as never before, Seventh-day Adventists are to arise and shine because their light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon them. Letter 296, 1909. Heading, Surveying the Needs of the Large Cities. Subheading, City Work is Difficult. We feel intensely regarding the work in our cities. There are few ready to engage in the work waiting to be done. There are people of all classes to be met, and the work is difficult. But we shall encourage all who have given tact and the ability to understand the situation to give themselves to the work of sounding the last note of warning to the world. Letter 82, 1910. Subheading, The Need of Study and Means. A few faithful workers have been trying to do something in this great wicked city, New York. But their work has been difficult because they have had so few facilities. Elder Blank and his wife have labored faithfully. But it was felt the burden of sustaining them in their labors. Who among our leading men have visited them to learn the needs of the work? General Conference Bulletin, April 7, 1903. Subheading, Difficulties and Fears, the Cause of Neglect. Time is rapidly passing into eternity, and these cities have as yet scarcely been touched. There is a power that the Spirit of God can impart to truth. As light is flashed into the mind, a conviction will take hold of hearts that will be too powerful to resist. My duty is to say that God is earnestly calling for a great work to be done in the cities. New fields are to be opened. Men who know the message and who should feel the responsibilities of the work have manifested so little faith that because of difficulties or fears, there's been a long neglect. Letter 150, 1909. Subheading, Commission to Study Special Needs. Seven men should have been chosen to be united with the president to set in operation a work in the great cities for those who are perishing without the truth, while no determined efforts are being put forth to save them. These seven men should be men who are wide awake, men that are humble and meek and lowly in heart. Never should the cities have been neglected as they are, for there has come most decidedly message after message calling for earnest labor. No less than seven men should be chosen to carry the large responsibilities of the work of God and the great cities. And these men should humble themselves daily and seek the Lord most earnestly for sanctified wisdom. They should relate themselves to God as men desirous to be taught. They must be men of prayer who realize the peril of their own souls. What should be the work of these seven men? They should investigate the needs of the cities and put forth earnest, decided efforts to advance the work. Letter 58, 1910. Subheading, To See the Needs as God Sees Them. The Lord desires us to proclaim the third angel's message with power in these cities. As we work with all the strength that God grants us, and in humility of heart, putting our entire trust in Him, our labors will not be without fruit. Our determined efforts to bring souls to a knowledge of the truth for this time will be seconded by holy angels and many souls will be saved. The Lord never forsakes his faithful messengers. He sends to their aid heavenly agencies and accompanies their labors with the power of his Holy Spirit to convince and to convert. All heaven will endorse your appeals. Oh, that we might see the needs of these great cities as God sees them. We must plan to place in these cities capable men who can present the third angel's message in a manner so forceful that it will strike home to the heart. Men who can do this, we cannot afford to gather into one place to do a work that others might do. Manuscript 53, 1909. Heading, Problems Peculiar to Metropolitan Evangelism. Subheading, Large and Best Halls. It has been a difficult problem to know how to reach the people in the great centers of population. We are not allowed entrance to the churches. In the cities, the large halls are expensive, and in most cases, but few will come out to the best halls. We have been spoken against by those who were not acquainted with us. The reasons of our faith are not understood by the people, and we have been regarded as fanatics who were ignorantly keeping Saturday for Sunday. In our work, we have been perplexed to know how to break through the barriers of worldliness and prejudice and bring before the people the precious truth which means so much to them. Testimonies, Volume 6, pages 31, 32, 1900. Subheading, The Practical Problem of Finding a Hall. The difficulties mentioned are the ones to be met in almost every place, but not in so manifest a form as in blank. We think Satan has made his seat in that place to work out his deeds, that the labor shall be discouraged and give it up. We must seek wisdom of God, for by faith I see a strong church in that city. Our work must be to watch and to pray, to seek counsel of one wonderful and mighty in counsel, one mightier than the strongest powers of hell can take the prey from Satan, and under his guidance the angels of heaven will carry on the battle against all the powers of darkness and plant the standard of truth and righteousness in that city. Our brethren have been searching for a place to hold meetings in. The theaters and halls present so many objectionable phases that we think we shall use the skating rink, which has been lately used for religious and temperance meetings. If we get a place to hold forth the word of life, it will cost money. God will make a place for his own truth to come to the people, for this is the way he has wrought. Letter 79, 1893. Subheading, Securing City Evangelists. Now, when the Lord bids us to proclaim the message once more with power in the East, when he bids us enter the cities of the East and of the South and of the North and of the West, shall we not respond as one man and do his bidding? Shall we not plan to send messengers all through these fields and support them liberally? All our cities are to be worked. The Lord is coming. The end is near. Yea, it hasteth greatly. In a little while from this we shall be unable to work with the freedom that we now enjoy. Terrible scenes are before us, and what we do, we must do quickly. We must now build up the work in every place possible. And for the accomplishment of this work, we need greatly in the field the help that can be given by our ministers of experience who are able to hold the attention of large congregations. The Lord desires us to proclaim the third angel's message with power in these cities. We cannot exercise this power ourselves. All we can do is to choose men of capability and urge them to go into these avenues of opportunity and there proclaim the message in the power of the Holy Spirit. As they talk the truth and live the truth and pray the truth, God will move upon hearts. Manuscript 53, 1909. Subheading, Highway Evangelists. Elder Blank's ability as a speaker is needed in presenting the truth in the highways. When the truth is presented in the highways, the hedges will be opened and an extended work will be done. Letter 168, 1909. Subheading, Extraordinary Efforts Demanded. In the cities of today, where there is so much to attract and please, the people can be interested by no ordinary efforts. Ministers of God's appointments will find it necessary to put forth extraordinary efforts in order to arrest the attention of the multitudes. And when they succeed in bringing together a large number of people, they must bear messages of a character so out of the usual order that the people will be aroused and warned. They must make use of every means that can possibly be devised for causing the truth to stand out clearly and distinctly. The testing message for this time is to be borne so plainly and decidedly as to startle the hearers and lead them to desire to study the Scriptures. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 109, 1909. Subheading, Opposition, Expense, and Changing Audiences. I dreamed that several of our brethren were in council, considering plans of labor for the season, 1874. They thought it best not to enter the large cities, but to begin work in small places remote from the cities. Here they would meet less opposition from the clergy and would avoid great expense. They reasoned that our ministers, being few in number, could not be spared to instruct and care for those who might accept the truth in the cities, and who, because of the greater opposition they would there meet, would need more help than with the churches in small country places. Thus, the fruit of giving a course of lectures in the city would in a great measure be lost. Again, it was urged that, because of our limited means, and because of the many changes from moving that might be expected from a church in a large city, it would be difficult to build up a church that would be strength to the cause. My husband was urging the brethren to make broader plans without delay, and put forth in our large cities extended and thorough effort that would better correspond to the character of our message. One worker related incidents of his experience in the cities, showing that the work was nearly a failure, but he testified to better success in the small places. One of dignity and authority, one who was present in all our council meetings, was listening with the deepest interest to every word. He spoke with deliberation and perfect assurance. The whole world, he said, is God's great vineyard. The cities and villages constitute a part of that vineyard. These must be worked. Testimonies, Volume 7, pages 34, 35, 1902. Subheading, An Expensive Work. It almost seems as if scarcely anyone dares ask a worker to go into the cities because of the means that would be required to carry on a strong, solid work. It is true that much means will be required in order to do our duty toward the unwarned in these places, and God desires us to lift our voices and our influence in favor of using means wisely in the special line of effort. Manuscript 45, 1910. Subheading, Hearty Cooperation Imperative. In our large cities, a decided effort should be made to work in unity. In the spirit and fear of God, the laborers should unite as one man, working with strength and with earnest zeal. There should be no sensational efforts, no strife. Let there be seen practical repentance, true sympathy, hearty cooperation, and decided emulation of one another in the grand, earnest effort to learn lessons of self-denial and self-sacrifice by saving perishing souls from death. Manuscript 128, 1901. Let us thank the Lord that there are a few laborers doing everything possible to raise up some memorials for God in our neglected cities. Let us remember that it is our duty to give these workers encouragement. God is displeased with the lack of appreciation and support shown our faithful workers in our larger cities. Manuscript 154, 1902. Subheading, Holding to the Work for a Fully Developed Conclusion. In efforts made in large cities, one half of the labor is lost because they, the laborers, close up the work too soon and go to a new field. Paul labored long in his fields, continuing his work for 1 year in one place and 1 year and a half in another place. The haste to close up an effort has frequently resulted in a great loss. Letter 48, 1886. Heading, The Promise of an Abundant Harvest. Subheading, An Impressive Scene. In the visions of the night, a very impressive scene passed before me. I saw an immense ball of fire fall among some beautiful mansions, causing their instant destruction. I heard someone say, "We knew that the judgments of God were coming upon the earth, but we did not know that they would come so soon." Others, with agonized voices, said, "You knew. Why then did you not tell us?" "We did not know." On every side I heard similar words of reproach spoken. In great distress I awoke. I went to sleep again, and now I seem to be in a large gathering. One of authority was addressing the company before whom was spread out a map of the world. He said that the map pictured God's vineyard, which must be cultivated. As light from heaven shone upon any one, that one was to reflect the light to others. Lights were to be kindled in many places, and from these lights, still other lights were to be kindled. I saw jets of light shining from cities and villages, and from the high places and the low places of earth. God's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimonies, Volume 9, pages 28-29, 1909. Subheading, Solemn Warnings Stir Thousands. Men of faith and prayer will be constrained to go forth with holy zeal, declaring the words which God gives them. The sins of Babylon will be laid open. The fearful results of enforcing the observances of the church by civil authority, the inroads of spiritualism, the stealthy but rapid progress of the papal power, all will be unmasked. By these solemn warnings, the people will be stirred. Thousands upon thousands will listen who have never heard words like these. In amazement, they hear the testimony that Babylon is the church, fallen because of her errors and sins, because of her rejection of the truth sent to her from heaven. The Great Controversy, pages 606, 607, 1888. Subheading, Many to Come to the Light. Through the grace of Christ, God's ministers are made messengers of light and blessing. As by earnest, persevering prayer, they obtain the endowment of the Holy Spirit and go forth weighted with the burden of soul saving, their hearts filled with zeal to extend the triumphs of the cross, they will see fruit of their labors. Resolutely refusing to display human wisdom or to exalt self, they will accomplish a work that will withstand the assaults of Satan. Many souls will be turned from darkness to light, and many churches will be established. Men will be converted, not to the human instrumentality, but to Christ. Acts of the Apostles, page 278, 1911.